I get a little bit worried in the way in which the English language changes, and I predict that within 15 years, any child who reads that gospel will think that somehow or other, Zechariah had an iPad. He took out a tablet and wrote on it, you know. And that's one of the things that keeps on happening with language. I've had kids who are extremely creative. How in the world did they come up with that? You know, they're completely wrong, but that's all right. Our readings today are sort of a challenge to us, though, right now. The first reading from Isaiah, what we call 2nd Isaiah, written during the time of the Babylonian captivity when the Jews almost have lost hope, then this other man named Isaiah rises up. There were at least three people who took the name. And it predicts that they will be returned, but then there's a little zinger at the very end of this, that this, what happens to them will gradually spread to the ends of the earth. In other words, salvation does not depend on being a Jew. You don't have to be descended from Abraham. So that's sort of the shocker within this prophecy of Isaiah. But nevertheless, what's of more interest is you have the servant song saying, Lord, you have called me from my birth. It's applied to John the Baptist today, but normally it's applied to Jesus of Nazareth, usually to Christ. But not today, for a couple of reasons we'll see. Then we have the Acts of the Apostles. We have Paul speaking, and he talks about Jesus coming from the line of David, and David was chosen by God. Notice each time they're chosen. They don't choose themselves. And Paul talks about John was the herald. He pointed to someone else. And then today's passage ends with Paul saying, this has been fulfilled. Paul is like John the Baptist. He was chosen. Remember, Paul never met Jesus of Nazareth. He was not one of the original 12. And what Paul did, what John did in his baptism was not a sacrament. It was a Jewish purification rite, a rite of repentance. But the sacrament of baptism forgives those who are repentant. There's a difference. You never knew if you were forgiven in the Jewish tradition. But nevertheless, what's common with Paul and with John the Baptist is they are chosen to point to someone else. And finally, we have Luke's gospel today. The birth of John. Remember the earlier part of Luke's gospel, you have the annunciation made to Zechariah, and he doesn't believe that his wife, who's up in years, could possibly conceive. So therefore, he's struck dumb. And then there's the annunciation to Mary. And as a sign of God's favor, as a God of God's promise of his power, her cousin has already conceived. So Mary immediately goes to visit her cousin. And therefore, we have that Feast of Atonement was what Zechariah was celebrating in the temple. And then some 9 months later, that occurs in December, in November, by September, I'll get the months right yet. I just got back from Europe, so I'm still suffering from jet fatigue. And you have 9 months later, there's the birth of John, just after the summer solstice, the 21st of this month, when it starts to get hot. And then Jesus, of course, is born 6 months later because the Annunciation to Mary said that your cousin has already conceived and is 3 months pregnant. So therefore, 6 months after John's his birth is the birth of Jesus after the winter solstice, just after the 21st of December. So all these tie in very nicely. But one of the things is we have to look, well, who was John? What's his role? He would be a good role model for most priests and laity, bishops and popes. They are not the object of faith. They point. Secondly, John becomes a model for the church, or should be. And then we have to ask, how do we follow him? How do we imitate him? Why do we have this feast? Why do Catholics and the Anglicans and the High Church Lutherans celebrate this feast today? Well, it's because there's a meaning to it. John points to the one from whom salvation comes. And in the little passage we have in today's Acts of the Apostles, we have the paraphrase that Luke will use elsewhere. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles too. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. The most menial of tasks he's not worthy to do when it applies to Jesus. But I repeat, his baptism was not a sacrament. There is no evidence in the New Testament that any of the original 12 were baptized with the sacrament of baptism. They all were baptized with the baptism of John. That's a criteria for being a member of the 12. They followed Jesus from the time of his baptism when other disciples were baptized. So his baptism was one that was one of repentance, but it could not forgive. But then even his name is significant. In the Jewish tradition, normally a son was not named after his father, but after his grandfather. But what is significant here is it's the whole notion of the continuation of the succession of the priesthood biologically. It's broken. That's not going to be the case here. John is not going to be in succession to the priesthood. So he's given this other name because something new is happening, and it begins with his proclamation as he points to the other one. He knew his identity. His identity was not to be self-aggrandizing. His identity was not the cult of personality, but to point to someone else. Why do I say then, my second point, that he's a model for the church? Well, if we look at the application of Isaiah to John rather than to Jesus, then we see that each time in all the readings, God is the one who chooses. Right now, what we many times want is, in fact, this happens in universities all the time, give the students what they want. No, we're supposed to give them what they need. A big difference. If you gave people what they wanted, they would just have an easy life, lots of income, never have to work. Likewise, what these scripture passages are telling us today is that somehow or other we have to recognize God is the one who chooses. We don't. So God chooses Isaiah. God chose John. God would ultimately choose Christ. John's identity then is always to prepare the way, not to be a stumbling block, but to prepare the way. And somehow or other, we have to recognize that maybe embedded in this Christian tradition that we have is also an apologetic that many of John's disciples refused to accept Christ. Even after the resurrection, they still were disciples of John. So there's a little apologetic of how John always points the way to Christ. But nevertheless, what we do have in common here is there's no cult to personality. The only personality that we have to develop a cult for is the person of Jesus Christ. As soon as we confuse the mere human beings who stand before you, perhaps boring you, then you're making a mistake. The only significance of the priesthood is the recognition that God may have chosen, and God is the one to whom we're supposed to point. And I say that because with the modern media, there's very much a danger of the cult of personality. We're impressed with the soundbite, the picture. Remember, this didn't happen until maybe 50 years ago. Now we have a media communication, and there's a danger in it because it doesn't give us time to reflect what is the message, not just the medium. A final reflection. How do we imitate him? Well, first of all, one of the problems is we all want immediate fulfillment. And what was John's fulfillment? Ultimately, to be beheaded. Not exactly something any of us want to do. What is Jesus' fulfillment? He was hanged on a cross. Most of us don't want that. We don't want it, but maybe we need to recognize that's what we are called to do. And therefore, there is no cult of personality except the personality of Jesus the Christ. Each of us has to be like Paul, to recognize the word has come to us, and it is our obligation to live it and preach it. Maybe live it or preach it by our actions rather than by our words. Because there's always a danger of winning people to us rather than to Christ through us. So our feast day today, then, the birth of John the Baptist. By the way, it's a big feast in Canada because he is the patron saint of Quebec. I believe, where did he go? There he is. Yeah, okay. But he's not from Quebec. But nevertheless, it's a major feast there. So our readings today talk about the birth of John and what it means for us. What does John mean for us? Ultimately, one who points. He's one who proclaims someone else. He recognized that his dignity and what he should be proud of, he has been called from his mother's womb, from the time of his birth, to point, not to be the center of attention.